Where do you see your career in 10 years? What are you doing now to help you get there? The sooner you start enhancing your skills, the sooner you'll be ready. That's why AARP has reskilling courses in a variety of categories like marketing and management to help your income live as long as you do.
That's right. AARP has a bevy of free skill building courses for you to choose from because the steps that you choose to take today will help you to love what you do in the future. And that's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/skills. In recent weeks, we've really focused on some ways that listeners can boost their income. So whether that's through starting your own side business and growing your network like Hala talked about, or when we talked with local realtor Alan about diving into investing in real estate, well, what better way to test the waters? While you are away, your home could also earn extra income.
That's right. Your empty space could be an Airbnb while you're traveling, because that's all you need to become an Airbnb host. It's a lot easier than you think, and you don't need to Airbnb your entire house. You could just host your extra spare room. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
I'm Matt.
Today, we're discussing workplace whiplash. Hybrid work is here to stay.
We're going to be making an argument for why we believe that hybrid work is here to stay, because essentially for the last 100 years, you had to go into work, right? Like whether you're going to a factory, whether you're going into an office, and even the past several
decades. Plowing your fields.
Plowing your fields, you got to go out to the office. You know? but changes are afoot, especially as we've seen over the past few years. That has sped up. And more folks are working from home, but is it going to remain that way? I feel like once the pandemic hit, the cat was let out of the bag.
Sure.
Right? And everyone knows that cats don't like going back into bags.
They get finicky, man. I've got a couple of cats at home, and I'm amazed at how...
And they hate being put in bags, right?
Yeah, they don't like being put in a corner.
They don't like it.
I just like walk up the stairs, and they still get freaked out every time. They're like, and they run off. And I'm like, you know me by now. I've never stepped on you. I've never kicked you. Like, how are you still so frightened when I just walk up the stairs?
Cats.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about...
No, we are talking about, the working environment. And I think for us, what we think lies in the future for different workplaces.
And how people can react, let's say.
We're sort of making a prediction here, I guess.
Well, and in particular, some of the writing's on the wall, and some of the, like, we're seeing actually the hybrid work model become the norm. But how do you react to that? If that's not the new norm you want, we'll give our thoughts on that too. But Matt, first, real quick, frugal or cheap, wearing a fishing vest on an airplane to cram all your clothes in so you don't have to check a bag and pay the check bag fees.
To avoid paying those additional fees. Totally frugal. Yeah, this was... So was this... it was in the Times or the
Wall
Journal?
Wall Street Journal article, I think.
Wall Street Journal. And they highlighted a bunch of folks who were doing this. And these weren't just like cheapskates. They profiled a few folks who... Like one lady was an attorney, which kind of surprised me. And she's wearing like... suburban dad fly fishing vests with all of her things.
Some would say they're just stylish, you know?
So I really do think it's a frugal move. And like we talk about on the show, one man or one woman's frugal is another man's or another woman's cheap. Mm-hmm. And so I think if you want to do that in order to not have to pay those additional fees because you're flying with Spirit and it's going to cost you the same amount of money that you paid for that ticket in order to check not even to check a bag, just to bring on a carry-on.
I think Frontier,
then go for it,
charges more for carry-on than it does for check bag, which is just...
Oh, really?
So you have to know the fine print of all the airlines and what they charge. And yeah, you might be willing to jump through some hoops, including wearing a vest or putting on extra articles of clothing to save yourself money on a flight. I think that's just savvy, right? That's using the rules to your
advantage.
So
you're for it?
I'm for it.
Yeah,
I'm for it.
Me too.
Yeah.
I mean, personally. So you wouldn't do it? Well, there are more socially acceptable ways of doing this, like carrying a backpack. You and I, we both have Cotopaxis, like the smaller backpack.
Yeah, 28-liter backpack.
Which are awesome.
Yeah.
And they get in just under the wire as far as the dimension requirements.
For almost everybody.
Including Spirit.
And so you just pack light. You just pack super light. By the way, the other massive advantage.
Also, well, real quick. You and I, we even use those bags when we went to Scotland.
Yeah.
We packed a week's worth of clothing.
In a backpack.
Inside of that backpack.
Exactly.
Of course, I had merino wool on my side to be able to fall back on.
I was a touch stinkier, which is fine. But the other major thing is when you check a bag, you run the risk of losing that luggage. And so there are credit cards that offer reimbursement for luggage, stuff like that, which is cool. But it doesn't mean it's not a massive hassle and that you want to lose your stuff. That is the whole reason for me to not check a bag. I think it's convenience, and I think it's not having to go through the annoyance of potentially your luggage being delayed or not being there when you arrive. So I'm all for I don't know the last time I've checked a bag. It's probably been like 20 years, man. So I like this
well,
vest
you
movement.
When you and Emily went to France like 10 years ago or something like that, you checked because you came back with beer.
I did, yes. That is one reason that was worth checking it. So you're right. My trip to Amsterdam was worth bringing back beer.
There you go.
Brought 37 beers back because it was basically like a massively discounted way of shipping.
It's the only way you can get your hands on some of those European beers as well.
Exactly.
One other argument for wearing all of your clothes onto the plane via a fly fishing vest is it's just faster. Like not having to deal with a carry-on in your roll. Like imagine someone just walking down the aisle with no bag in tow versus somebody who has on a vest. It's like that times however many hundred people are on a flight. Like that just means things happen faster and everybody just wants to be able to get to their destination faster.
Yep, that's what
I think that's a great argument.
That's what I love about the backpacks too.
Yes,
it's just so simple.
Similar.
So easy.
Exactly.
All right, let's move on, Matt. Let's mention the beer we're having on this episode. It's called I'm going to laugh when I say this. It's called A Quite Ostentatious Testimony of Non Sequitur by Burial Brewing.
Of course.
Yeah. They've got the weirdest names of all time.
And I will say...
It's like they just like looked in the dictionary and picked random big words.
Well, if you actually read the words too, A Quite Ostentatious... I can't even say it. Ostentatious Testimony of Non Sequitur. They are literally doing that with this title.
Yeah.
with this title. But I'm excited for this one because we're kind of shifting gears and drinking some of these stouts from Burial as well. We wanted to drink all those IPAs, and this most definitely is a big boy stout. Looking forward to enjoying it and sharing our thoughts at the end of the episode.
For sure. But let's move on to the subject at hand, Matt. Workplace whiplash. And it makes me think of a car, the hydroplaning. The worst thing you can do when it's happening is to overcorrect, right? Jerk your steering wheel hard to the left or the right.
Sure.
Because then when your tires hit the asphalt again, your car is going to jerk suddenly.
Shoot off to the side.
And you're in a ditch or
into a barrier.
In another car, in a barrier, whatever.
Have you ever hydroplaned?
Not that I know of. I don't think so.
Yeah. I have. Not majorly to where I was like skidding out of my lane, but you hit some of those big.
I'm sure I felt it for a second or two.
Puddles, you start floating a little bit, and you're like, this doesn't feel good.
I haven't done it long enough to where it felt like the instinct kicked in to do something about it. Like it's usually short lived, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But that puts you in even more danger when you do that, right? When you make a rapid reaction,
sure. Or even just like when someone pulls out in front of you and you kind of swerve to avoid hitting them. But if you over swerve and your car starts whipping the other way and then you whip it back the other way and you kind of start careening out of control.
Acting like you're a stunt driver in some sort of Hollywood movie or something like that. But I think a lot of people feel this kind of whiplash right now. A lot of workers do, at least the laptop class, which is kind of what it's been called, the people in the pandemic who were able to work from home even while other people weren't. But it seemed like work from home was going to be the new normal. Everyone was going hard in that direction. But that is becoming less and less the case. And even companies that made it sound like that was going to be their future in perpetuity are kind of changing their plans. They're pulling out the rug from under a lot of their employees. And so how should people respond? That's really what this episode's all about. When your employer, your boss changes their tune, what should your reaction be?
What should you do about it? Yeah, workplace whiplash really is the best term for it. Because for a while, it seemed like nobody was going to be going back into the office. And things are looking a little differently these days. And of course, all of our listeners out there, like folks want to know what the future of work is actually going to look like. What companies are asking or what they might be asking in the future, and then how to respond. Because individuals, employees, made some massive changes to their lives based on what the leadership at the company that they work for, explicitly told them.
Some people moved to another state, or some people moved an hour away from the office because they said, well, you told me I was never going to have to come back in person, and now you're changing your story, but that doesn't change the fact that I upended my life because of what you said.
They've moved. They sold houses, sold cars, moved, made changes when it comes to the childcare. Like around here, man, like in order to get in some place to where they'll take care of your kid, a lot of times it takes being on a wait list.
You got
to
plan ahead for sure.
And then like even once you make it in, it still costs a ton of money. And so there's a lot at stake. And specifically, I guess I'm thinking of a story from a few weeks ago was Farmers Insurance. That was one where a bunch of employees basically were revolting because they're saying, they're like, hey, you are totally changing the game. And yeah, there was specifically somebody that they quoted and they're like, I sold my house in order to move closer to my grandkids. Mm-hmm. Now what do I do? Mm-hmm. Like these are all questions that folks are asking, and that's what we're talking about.
And they're tough. They're tough questions to reckon with, especially depending on your financial situation, depending on where you're at in your career, stuff like that. And there was a recent article in The Onion, and it read, CEO's company-wide email inspires employees to start looking for a different job. And to me, that summed up really a lot of what we're talking about today.
I love The Onion.
Yeah, it's so okay. funny, but it also hits close to home for a lot of people, right? Because getting that email or having that Zoom call to rally the troops to come back into the office, even that peppy speech, it's just not being well received by a whole lot of people. And Matt, the director of strategy for Gallup, he said this recently. He said, changes in remote work policies can certainly create significant risk to employee retention and engagement, depending on how drastic the changes are and how effectively they are executed by managers. And I thought that was the most spot on thing.
Understatement of the year, perhaps.
Especially so much of it is in how it's communicated, how it's talked about, and how these policies are implemented. And if it's a top-down authoritarian approach, you are going to see, even if those employees stick around, probably less productivity, less enthusiasm, and eventually some of those people are going to leave. So I do think that the employers need to strongly think about how they are crafting these policies and how they're also communicating them to workers at the same time.
Sure. Yeah. And obviously this is all because of COVID, right? Like it's all because of the lockdowns, the pandemic that brought us into a work from home like paradise, essentially. That would not have happened otherwise. I really do believe
that. That was a Coolio song, right?
Gangster's Paradise. But some folks thought that it sped things up, but I think it did more than that. Like it created a work scenario that likely would have never existed otherwise. So much so that we saw the valuations of companies that facilitated working from home skyrocket. Those stock prices shot through the roof. And that's not really the case anymore. Like Zoom and Teladoc and all the other companies out there.
Yeah, Zoom was like worth more than ExxonMobil, I think, at one point. And now it's insane. Barely worth more than
it's crazy.
My life, you know?
Honestly, just how quickly working from home just became the new normal. And you know, after a prolonged time of that increased flexibility, we're talking about more than 3 years for many folks, your life has probably found a new rhythm. So we certainly sympathize for the growing pains that not only employers are facing as they're trying to figure out how best to move forward, but also, of course, for employees, that is who we are talking to.
Yeah, I think it's a similar reaction to someone who now is confronted with having to start paying on their student loans again. And we have been talking about this for years now at this point, but it was kind of out of sight, out of mind, understandably for a lot of people. And similarly, when work from home became the new normal, year one, year two, year three, you start sinking into that reality and going back to the office becomes even more jarring. And same thing with those payments restarting.
You just assume that this is the new normal.
Exactly. But it's not. And so we think that the new normal is going to become hybrid work. It seems like the writing's on the wall. That's what's happening. The new work from home reality, by the way, it didn't just impact how people worked. It impacted the real estate market. It affected where people wanted to live and prices in general. It affected in some cities, Boise, Denver in particular, they experienced massive price increases. We saw some of those medium-sized cities and more rural areas kind of go a little boomtown. It also impacted commercial real estate, but in the opposite way. Mm-hmm. Like office space became less valuable as some companies disbanded in-person work. And although occupancy has ticked back up, it's still far below what it was pre-pandemic. And banks, they're expecting commercial real estate to continue to suffer. So this work-from-home trend has certainly made individuals prioritize their home and having space for working from home. But at the same time, now that hybrid work is kind of becoming the preferred method for a lot of employers, it's tough to know what you need to do and how to react as an individual too.
Yeah. And I mean, it just shows just the far-reaching implications of something like working from home, how it can have an impact on like real estate, which is the most expensive thing that anybody out there ever purchases. Yeah. But yeah, you're talking about it ticking back up. So Castle, it's like this company, they do like commercial real estate security and like access cards, basically, that you like to get into your office building. But they're saying that like we're not even to like the average occupancy in major cities. It's not even back up to 50% of pre-pandemic. And so we are like that is a massive decline still. And even though we have seen it increase a little bit, we're not seeing it bounce back to pre-pandemic highs.
We're not anywhere close to that. And no. I don't know if we'll ever get back to where we were then.
We don't think so.
And that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Because we think the hybrid approach is going to be the path forward. Honestly, we even talked about this back during the early days of lockdowns, working from home specifically. We dedicated an entire episode to how it is that you can work from home without going crazy. But the biggest question everyone was asking back then was, is this, you know, the end of going into the office? Is working from home here to stay? And we're clearly seeing that the answer is sort of, kind of, because
a very clear
hybrid
answer.
Totally seems to be the official mantra of CEOs everywhere. And I don't know if that's just because they're trying to deliver the news with like a velvet glove, or eventually they are planning to mandate that everyone has to come back or what, but that is what folks are talking about these days. And some businesses are obviously taking different tactics, like Yelp and Etsy, for instance, where they got rid of all their offices and it's like, all right, you can work from home indefinitely.
They're like, putting their money where their mouth is, like literally not re-signing leases.
Sure. Yeah. And it kind of makes sense too. Like specifically with Yelp, like the whole point is that they are reviewing other places. So a better way to actually like live out that mission than to not have a central office and go out there and explore all of these other locations.
The job I used to work at, man, like almost nobody goes into work anymore. They have a much, much, much smaller office space.
Skeleton crew.
Yeah. Well, 90 plus percent of the employees work from home full time.
It makes me think of CNN.
Used to be the case.
A big local employer here downtown. Like they have had this massive campus downtown, like the CNN Center.
That's right.
And they've consolidated and moved to another location. Granted, CNN is dealing with other issues as well, but the folks aren't coming into the office like they used to.
Yeah, I feel like some TikToks get more views these days than CNN. But
that's true.
Companies like Google have been expecting their employees to be in the office more, but now they're really, really wanting folks to show up. And they basically said that attendance is going to be tracked via company badges, via those badges you mentioned, Matt. And performance reviews are going to take this into account. So, yeah, if you're showing up 1 or 2 days a week when they want you in three, when that performance review comes up, you might not have the best one, and it might impact your pay. And Salesforce, Matt, they went with the carrot approach instead of the stick approach. They said they were going to donate $10 per day to a nonprofit for employees who showed up in person over a specific range of time. But even that kind of backfired because it was perceived as this emotionally manipulative move, which I get. It's like 10 bucks to your favorite nonprofit if you show up in person. And that
feels kind of, seems kind of crappy.
It seems crappy too. So every company is trying to take their own approach. They're trying to figure this out. How do we get people who have been so used to working from home, to working in their PJs, to working kind of the hours they want, to not having to commute? How do we coax them back into the office? And it seems like almost nobody has figured out a way to do it without upsetting the apple cart.
Sure. Well, so it's not just companies as well, but individuals. So, of course, Elon Musk is quite opinionated and shares whatever it is he's thinking within that minute at the moment on a whim, tweets it out to all of his folks. But Martha Stewart, she recently said that America is going to go down the drain if people don't return to the office. She's basically pointing out that like, oh yeah, we're going to end up like France. Right. And she's like, we've all seen how where France is headed.
That sounds like an overstatement to me.
Yeah. And so I don't know. It's difficult to know what is actually happening versus what is being like covered in the news. Mm-hmm. But this is something that I'm sure a lot of extroverts are out there welcoming, going back into the office. But even they are probably a little bit conflicted. So who is right? What is the best approach? And how is it that you should react to this new hybrid normal? We're going to discuss all of that right after this.
Cachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics, and in other words, everything your body craves to feel your best. This is where Cachava really earns their 52,000 plus five-star reviews. It tastes amazing. It's creamy and smooth with just water, and it comes in 5 delicious flavors. You can choose from chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, and coconut acai. Cachava is offering How to Money listeners 10% off for a limited time. I've been using Cachava in breakfast smoothies in the morning recently. It's just so nice to pack in a bunch of nutrients early in the AM in a way that's satisfying and energizing. So if you want to optimize your breakfast, your workout shake, be sure to check out Cachava. Just go to cachava.com/howtomoney. That's spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com/howtomoney.
You probably think it's too soon to join AARP, right? Well, let's take a minute to talk about it. Where do you see yourself in 15 years? More specifically, your career, your health, your social life? What are you doing now to help you to get there? Well, there are tons of ways for you to start preparing today for your future with AARP.
What about that dream job you've dreamt about? Sign up for AARP reskilling courses to help make it a reality. How about that active lifestyle you've only spoken about from the couch? AARP has health tips and wellness tools to keep you moving for years to come. But none of these experiences are without making friends along the way. Connect with your community through AARP volunteer events.
So, it's safe to say, it's never too soon to join AARP. They're here to help your money, your health, and happiness live as long as you do. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/wisefriend.
I'm guessing that a lot of listeners are starting to solidify their summer travel plans. We always like to get the families together, Matt, for a week at the beach every single summer. We've already got that trip to St. Simon's on the calendar. Pumped for that. But sometimes those vacations get expensive. So what better way to offset some of those costs than to have your home earning some money while you're away?
That's right. Why let it sit empty when it could be earning extra income? It's the financially smart thing to do. So think it through. Maybe you've got some extra space in your home, or maybe you have an entire house to host. Or maybe you're just going on vacation and your home is sitting empty. In every case, you can Airbnb it. You already have the space, so it won't be a huge adjustment.
I mean, the way I see it, if you're not using your space, you have two options. You can let it just sit there empty, or you do some optimizing and make some money off it. Really, if you think about it, you already have an Airbnb. You just need to start using it. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. All right, Matt, let's keep talking about workplace whiplash. A lot of people are feeling it around the country as they have been told, time to get back into the office, and maybe they're not ready. or maybe they are ready, but maybe not to the extent the employer wants, or maybe it's not as flexible as they would like it to be. And so it is causing a lot of life consternation and kind of just making people reconsider their careers and some of their choices, especially after they've made massive life changes during the past three and a half years of pandemic life. And part of the reason this change is taking place as well is because the pandemic is basically over, right?
Sure.
And it's also because the labor market is cooling, which has changed the balance of power. Workers have less leverage now than they did 12 or even 6 months ago when we were talking about just how much people could make by going down the street and applying elsewhere. And the world was full of opportunity for employees. They were in high demand, and so they could call the shots. But one example now of that change is Meta, Facebook, basically having their what they're calling their year of efficiency. And the layoffs we've seen happening in the tech sector and upticks in layoffs in other sectors as well, we've seen the highest jump in unemployment claims in the past 2 years just recently. And granted, it's all relative, right? Unemployment is still crazy low, but the tides are changing.
Yeah.
And so now employers are saying, we don't need you as much as you think we do. And if we want you back in the office, we might just even force it down your throat.
That's right. So we recorded an episode, I think, I forget what we call it, like the oncoming tsunami or tidal wave of layoffs or whatever. Mm-hmm. And some folks said that we were kind of blowing it out of proportion. But like when you talk about some
clickbait,
of these...
Clickbait, Matt, I think is what you were calling.
There are a lot of companies, like we talked about Microsoft, about Disney, Boeing, and they were all announcing thousands and thousands of layoffs that were going to be coming this year. But even assuming that folks are right and they're saying that, like, okay, but that's even still, that's a small percentage of actual folks who are without a job. Like you said, with unemployment still at relative lows, what we're talking about here is not just maybe what the data shows, but even just the change in perception. And folks make decisions based on perception, sure. based on the headlines. And when large companies are making cuts like this, it signals to other companies as to whether, maybe not whether or not they should fire half of their staff, but maybe it does have more of an impact on their ability to be flexible when it comes to some of the different requests that their employees are making.
Yeah. Sometimes it's not how the economy is doing in the here and now. It's the perception of how the economy is going to do in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's worth mentioning because it is, you know, you want to get a feel for the lay of the land, like lick your thumb, stick it up to figure out which way the wind is blowing. That's what we're doing here. So that being said, going back into the office is not all bad. So we're going to make a little bit of an argument for going back into the office.
The pros and the cons, by the way.
Because like what some of these CEOs are saying is based in reality. There are some intangible and truly tangible benefits that working in person with your colleagues, working elbow to elbow, that the results that kind of work can generate is incredible. So going back to the Google example for a second here, one of their executives pointed out that at their recent conference, most of the products that they unveiled, they were developed by teams who were there in person working side by side. And so I don't know if there is actual data backing this up, but the increase in productivity that comes with working in person, I think that is a very real argument that's hard to fight back against.
Agreed. Yeah. And at some point you have to say, wait a second, maybe it's not just in my best interest, but it's in the company's best interest, which is also in my best interest, because the more profitable this company is, the more likely I am going to be able to keep my job, get pay raises, and enjoy a lengthy career here. And I would think, yeah, Google at some point, if they stop churning out products, same with a lot of different companies, at the same rate or at the same quality, that company's going to feel the pinch, which in turn means you're going to feel
eventually
the pinch.
You will as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's not just benefits for the company. We think that a lot of folks, especially people who are younger and earlier in their career, they can benefit from more in-person at the office time too. And Jamie Dimon, the CEO of JPMorgan Chase, he said a few months back that remote work doesn't work. He kept it pretty pithy. And he was particularly referring to young staff who works for him. And that's a blunt statement, but he's not all that far from the truth, right? The hybrid model, which is kind of becoming the norm, that's what it seems like a lot of workplaces are returning to. I think that's going to be helpful, actually, to a lot of Gen Zers in particular, if they were working from home 5 days a week, to get back in the office two or three as they seek to grow in their careers. And more in-person time will aid, I think, in skill development. And that skill development will lead to greater pay gains over time. So
totally agree.
Yeah, I think it's healthier for the bottom line of the company in many ways. It's healthier than for, in particular, younger workers. I think if you're well established in your career, you might have even less of a desire to go back to the office. But I think younger workers can actually make greater strides if they are in the office more often.
Yeah, I think when you are learning the ropes for the first time, learning in real life, learning directly from another individual can certainly be a more efficient way, I guess, to learn an industry.
IRL, baby.
Huh?
IRL.
Oh, yeah, IRL. Okay, so I think this might be like a small tangent or whatever, but let's talk about some of the social benefits of going back into the office. So there's this new report. This is from a nonprofit group, Equimundo, but they released this report, and specifically on American men. And the results are pretty staggering, man. They found that 2/3 of young men believe that, and this is a quote, that no one really knows them. And even though they focused on men, I think this conclusion can be applied to others as well. It's not that your strongest social connections, all of your friends, should be found at work, but Americans are alone more than ever, and it's producing pretty terrible results. The ability to work from home, like some, I think, is great, but we can't discount what it is that we lose when there's none of this face-to-face interaction at all.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, people are lonely. And some psychologists, they've called what we're experiencing in this country an epidemic of loneliness, which I tend to agree with. I'm shocked to see this Business Insider article recently detailed how folks are turning to side hustles for a little bit of extra income, but for socialization reasons too. Like, they just want to be connected to other people. Mm-hmm. And it's not just about the money they can make driving for Uber. It's about the way that they can, you know, make connections and
interact
talk to people.
With other human beings,
yes.
Who seem to care and, yeah, who you can have a conversation with.
And the pandemic only just catalyzed our move towards loneliness and towards solitude, I think. And so we're collectively craving interaction with other humans because it's what we're built for. And I think, Matt, the social connections that you're mentioning here, they produce more than just social benefits. It's not just that being in the office more is good because, oh, it's nice to see Sam or Jill or whatever and to like have some water cooler talk. Like, I do think that is like massively helpful from a personal standpoint. But on top of that, I think that those social connections foster a whole lot of potential career growth at the same time. So I think there's multiple benefits to being in the office more and to being more connected to the people that you work with.
Totally. Yeah. It's good for you as an individual from a personal, like holistic health standpoint, because I think having friends and that just leads to other healthier outcomes for you as an individual, but also, like you said, from a financial standpoint as well.
Your friends might be like, oh, you're playing that new Zelda game six hours a day? Like, that's not healthy, dude. What you up to? Come hang out with us more. Go for a hike, whatever. And
that's
like,
true.
They have the ability to get you out of that funk more than, like, it's hard to get yourself out of that, but that's
to
what
pull yourself out of that spiral
other people
that you might find yourself in.
Totally. Can do for you.
Yeah. And ultimately, too, I think one of the biggest pros to keep in mind is just because your boss wants you to, right? So, like, aside from what data might show and what productivity research might show, that like, oh no, in fact you are able to be quite as productive and collaborate with your coworkers just as much, that's my nerdy researcher voice, just as much as if you were there in real life. Well, it doesn't really matter if your boss doesn't care.
They might not care about the research.
They
might say, this is the new rule. This is top down. I don't even have any say over how this gets implemented. But.
Yeah. And so as long as you are there working under that supervisor or you have a boss that believes that, it's important to keep that in mind as well, that it just might be I don't want to call it like the path of least resistance, but just because your boss wants you to, like, that is your, like, the quickest way for you to earn more money at that company is through your supervisor
your
boss.
You're saying that's not an insufficient reason. That is reason enough to maybe do the thing.
Exactly. But there are downsides, of course, of going back to the office as well. And I think we wanted to start with the pros, I guess, because I think many folks aren't necessarily talking about the pros. Yeah. I think a lot of folks are focusing on the cons.
Again,
that's what we're getting to now.
People have gotten kind of used to a life of work from home, used to the added flexibility.
Mm-hmm. And it's the default argument, basically.
Exactly. And after 3 years, I get it that you maybe kind of reject wholesale the idea of going back into the office at all. But that's why we wanted to highlight, there's actually some perks. And not just perks for the business, but perks for you. But there are also cons.
That's right. And, commuting specifically, I think, is like rises. It's the cream that rises to the top for anybody who no longer has to commute. But, yeah, getting in the car, driving a long distance, wasting time, wasting money that you had otherwise, that you were able to bring back into your personal life. Like, that is one of the big ones. And I will say, commuting, it's not all bad, right? Depending on what it is that your commute looks like. But we did do an episode like way back in the day, and I still remember this title, but your commute is killing you. And
that was like early on. That was like first year of podcasting. Well,
yeah.
So this was a long time ago.
Back in the poor not poor days.
We still mostly feel this way.
The
commuting is mostly a waste of time, and you should live closer to where you work and all that kind of stuff.
That's right. Well, yeah, seeing if you can bike when you can, carpooling with coworkers, that's a way for you to facilitate some of that social connection as well. Those are all ways to make the commute less vicious, but if you live farther away, you know, and you've clawed back an hour or two of your life thanks to working from home, I totally get your reticence to give it up and to even go back into the office even 2 days a week.
Yeah, I can't imagine going from a 0 hour commute to a 2 or 2+ hour commute every single day. I mean, that's 10 hours of your life. Or let's say you're doing the hybrid thing. Let's say that's 6 hours of your life sucked back dry every day and all the logistics that go along with that, especially if you have kids. No fun. and sitting in the car for that long sucks. Like, and it's not a good sustainable thing for most folks over a long period of time.
I mean, and back on that episode, we talked about how it's literally killing you. Like, essentially, we believe it's just bad for your health.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things that you and I, we love about our commute to our little How to Money Clubhouse, we get to bike and it's literally three quarters of a mile. Like, it's a 6 minute commute maybe. And, you know, we get some sunlight, we get a bit of exercise.
It's like 10 or 15 minutes for me.
Is it? Okay. It's a little bit longer.
I take my time.
You're what, like a mile and a quarter maybe?
I don't know.
It's just a really healthy way to start the day, even though we're not going on like a vigorous 20-minute bike ride or 30-minute bike ride. That little bit gets the blood flowing, gets me excited to kind of come in.
Get some fresh air. Get some of that Peter Attia sunlight exposure to make sure that your sleep cycles are falling into place like they're supposed to.
Exactly. Well, and you know, the way a lot of people have done things for a lot of years in this country, it's from the house to the car to the office, then back to the car and then the house again. And when done on repeat, that can be a really dismal way to live. And you are missing out on nature and sunlight and physicality and all of the above. So yeah, you're right. I mean, I think if you're in a lengthy commute day after day, it has adverse effects in the here and now, but also over a longer period of time. Those things compound, and just like your returns in a 401k compound, but they're compounding to your detriment.
Yeah, absolutely. And this isn't to say like that if you were to work from home that you're automatically going to be healthier and that you're going to all of a sudden be, you know, like you're going to take 1 hour walks during your lunch break because now I work from home and I have this freedom. We envision life being that way, but I think very few folks actually go through and take those steps to implement some of these healthy behaviors.
I think if you work from home, it's really important to kind of come up with your own commute. And maybe that might be a 5-minute walk around the block before you start. But creating that space in between home life and work life, even if you work from home, I think it's a really healthy thing to try to inculcate.
Yeah, I think some folks would say like that's one of the few upsides to having a commute, right, is the ability to create silos to kind of differentiate and create boundaries between your work and home life. But again, it doesn't automatically mean that you're going to do those things. But working from home does allow you to technically have a framework or have some time that you no longer are, like you said, Joel, commuting, say, 6 hours a week. That is a lot of time that you can dedicate towards a healthier lifestyle.
Well, and also most people don't factor in that how much that commute impacts what they're actually earning, right? So I think if you factor in your job, not as a 40-hour a week job, but as a 46-hour a week job, it's like, my hourly rate just went down because
it just went down significantly.
Your work requirements extend outside of just kind of the 9-to-5 office hours or whatever that, and some people work more hours than that anyway. But you have to figure out the overall financial implications of the work you're doing. And I think for a lot of people, that commute, maybe if you're not kind of thinking about your job and the fact that your hourly rate, it might not be as good as you think it is.
That's right. Yeah, keep that in mind next time you hit a load of traffic.
Right.
Imagine your hourly wage dropping. But I agree, it certainly impacts your finances as well, because the more you work from home, especially if it's been a more permanent situation, it allows a lot of folks the ability to cut a car from their life. You can save a big chunk of money each and every month, not to mention, of course, just the actual cost of gas, of fueling up your vehicle to get to work.
It's really the depreciation, the insurance, all the other stuff on top of that. And it's oh man.
These are real costs that we're talking about here, like real dollars that you are spending in order to commute to work.
And if your car is mostly a get to work sort of vehicle, like that's something else that's really kind of going against you from a pay standpoint, and it's lowering your hourly wage.
Mm-hmm. And so in addition to just the cost of transportation, just with the flexibility that working from home offers, a big con of having to go back into the office is that a lot of folks are no longer going to be able to save when it comes to the ability to cut childcare costs from their lives. The ability to work from home, it gives you a taste of flexibility. You know, I mean, like being like owning our own business, that's tops, right? Like the ability for us to work during the hours that we want to and to kind of set our schedule. And folks who didn't have to go into the office, they got a taste of that.
Yeah.
And I think
too, that running your own business is actually harder in some ways because...
Well, certainly in some ways.
Yeah, because you might be on call more than you'd like to be.
Sure, but yeah, it's up to the individual, I guess, to decide how on call they want to be. But bottom line, you and I, like we've got way more... Like, yes, there's additional responsibility, but we've got the most flexibility. Like if we want to say, hey, we're going to not work next week because... you're going to live in Florida for a week, which is like
actually true.
This is actually happening. We have the ability to do that. And folks have had a taste of that, right? As they've been able to work from home, even just the daily chores that we have to, like you went to the DMV last week. That's not something you can wait to do after 5 o'clock because typically it's a government office and they close at 5. Or it's not just stuff that you have to do, but things that you want to do, like going to have lunch with your kid at school. That's not something you can do after 5 o'clock as well.
Yeah.
And so it's important to think through some of these additional costs and I guess the flexibility that you've given up. But in addition to, I guess, the flexibility, I'm thinking of, so we're talking about costs. There's like these tertiary costs associated with going into the office as well. I bet there's a lot of folks who haven't really updated their wardrobe since the pandemic kicked in, because they're like,
why'd you look at me like that?
I'm always looking at you while we record, but we don't really have to, because we just come into our
t-shirts and shorts every day.
Yes, exactly. But for folks who are, there's a certain expectation when you go into a certain kind of office that you are dressed a certain way. And even if you're just zooming in, at the very least, all you need is like a decent shirt, mm-hmm. you know, but you ain't got to worry about your from the waist down. But when you go to the office, you got to worry about your shoes, your, you know, your pants. But then, again, financial impacts. I'm thinking of the temptation to spend more money. So like going out for lunch, having friends at the office, it's like a blessing and a curse, mm-hmm. I guess. But you're also going to be more tempted to spend your money in more frivolous ways, like going out to eat, because that's what everybody's doing. Yeah, you get pulled into a certain lifestyle that you may not, if you're naturally frugal, you may not naturally be thinking as you're working from home, oh yeah, I want to go out to eat today for lunch. Like, yeah. you're probably going to eat the leftovers. But if you are surrounded by folks who are doing that, then that can have a relatively small impact. But again, those small expenses build and compound over time.
Well, that's why I think this hybrid approach that a lot of employers seem to be taking, they seem to be saying, listen, we're not pulling the rug all the way out, but we do want you to come back in 2 or 3 days a week, is probably the healthiest for the company and for the individual. But I get that it's also not as easy as that. And everybody has a different cost-benefit analysis that they have to run in their own lives. So we're going to talk about what to do if your company is calling you back into the office, and how do you respond? We'll get to some of our thoughts on that right after this. Kachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics, and in other words, everything your body craves to feel your best. This is where Kachava really earns their 52,000-plus five-star reviews. It tastes amazing. It's creamy and smooth with just water, and it comes in 5 delicious flavors. You can choose from chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, and coconut acai. Kachava is offering How to Money listeners 10% off for a limited time. I've been using Kachava in breakfast smoothies in the morning recently. It's just so nice to pack in a bunch of nutrients early in the AM in a way that's satisfying and energizing. So if you want to optimize your breakfast, your workout shake, be sure to check out Kachava. Just go to kachava.com/howtomoney. That's spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's kachava.com/howtomoney.
You probably think it's too soon to join AARP, right? Well, let's take a minute to talk about it. Where do you see yourself in 15 years? More specifically, your career, your health, your social life? What are you doing now to help you to get there? Well, there are tons of ways for you to start preparing today for your future with AARP.
What about that dream job you've dreamt about? Sign up for AARP reskilling courses to help make it a reality. How about that active lifestyle you've only spoken about from the couch? AARP has health tips and wellness tools to keep you moving for years to come. But none of these experiences are without making friends along the way. Connect with your community through AARP volunteer events.
So it's safe to say it's never too soon to join AARP. They're here to help your money, your health, and happiness live as long as you do. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/wisefriend.
I'm guessing that a lot of listeners are starting to solidify their summer travel plans. We always like to get the families together, Matt, for a week at the beach. Every single summer, we've already got that trip to St. Simons on the calendar. Pumped for that. But sometimes those vacations get expensive. So what better way to offset some of those costs than to have your home earning some money while you're away?
That's right. Why let it sit empty when it could be earning extra income? It's the financially smart thing to do. So think it through. Maybe you've got some extra space in your home, or maybe you have an entire house to host, or maybe you're just going on vacation and your home is sitting empty. In every case, you can Airbnb it. You already have the space, so it won't be a huge adjustment.
I mean, the way I see it, if you're not using your space, you have two options. You can let it just sit there empty, or you do some optimizing and make some money off it. Really, if you think about it, you already have an Airbnb. You just need to start using it. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
All right, we are back, and let's continue our discussion about the workplace / working from home whiplash that a lot of folks have experienced. And of course, we need to address the fact that different businesses and different industries, they've got different needs for in-person collaboration. We've been talking about sports, I feel like more with just the messy signing in Miami, but like, I don't know if professional athletes listen to our podcast or not.
Oh, Messi definitely listens. He's trying to figure out, how do I spend...
How should I spend that...
The $150 million a year, whatever he's getting now from
billions
Apple.
Of dollars.
Yeah.
But, like, if you are an NBA player and you're listening, like, you can't work from home. And some of the anger, honestly, that the laptop class is expressing, like, I think it rankles folks in the service industry who have been going into work all along, like, ever since, you know, they were considered, what was the term, necessary... workers? Oh, essential workers.
Yeah. Well, which both of my parents were. My mom's a nurse and my dad stocked grocery store shelves. And so because
that's a
of
very
that,
in-person job.
And they were also more at risk because they were older. And I get that maybe some of the moaning from the laptop class, I think it made them a little annoyed too, because they're like, listen, I'm going in here every day risking my life.
Sure.
And there are a lot of people who are upset if they have to come work in person a couple days a week. So
yeah.
there is a divide there between totally. Kind of the laptop class and the service industry
yeah.
folks.
Totally. And that's worth mentioning, because like so much of this trend, like how it is that it impacts you, it depends on the kind of work that you do. We understand that there's a lot of folks out there who don't have the luxury. They don't have the choice to say, okay, what am I going to do now? Okay, can't do anything.
Right.
Back to what I've always been doing for the past, you know, 10 years or so.
So let's talk about how you react as an individual worker.
If you do have that ability.
If you've got the yeah. ability and you are the kind of person who can and has been working from home. And part of it starts with kind of beginning a discussion with your employer. And you know, we mentioned earlier that employees don't have as much leverage as they had, say, a year or two ago when, you know, employees were in massive, massive high demand and they were getting paid 15, 20%, 30% more to move on down the road. And basically, your wish is my command. but my goodness, it's worth having a conversation with your manager to see yes. what sort of arrangement you can work out if they make this call for you to come back and into work, whether it's full-time or hybrid. And especially if you're one of those people who made significant life changes, like moving farther from the office or whatever, it's worth having that conversation. Be respectful, be kind, but push for a more flexible arrangement. And, you know, there might be some employers who are hard and fast, right? And this is the way it's got to be. But I think other employers might be sympathetic to the changes you've made in your life, and they might be willing to make an exception. But you don't know if you don't have the conversation.
Exactly. You are not going to receive if you don't ask. And I think it comes down to being specific as well. And so if you have a boss, like, outline how it is that you are still going to accomplish the same goals that you had been. Be specific when it comes to, okay, this is how I'm going to continue to be able to work on this project mm-hmm. and be just as productive. But I also think, too, if you've got a boss who's maybe worried about, like, your timeliness, because they're like, well, I know you're working from home, but you're kind of working all sorts of odd hours of the day or night. I think it's worth being specific here as well and kind of outlining, well, this is what my typical day is going to look like. Like in a perfect, you know, it's not going to be the exact same every single day,
sure.
but in like generally speaking, this is kind of when I'm expecting that I'll be able to work. When I don't want to work, it makes me think of a conversation we had with Alex Carter about getting paid what you're worth. And she had a client, somebody that she was advising. And one of the things that executive, she wanted to make sure that she was basically like off the clock from like 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. or something like that. Mm-hmm. Basically, whenever her kids were home from school, it was like a blackout period, and mm-hmm. she was not accessible. That was very important to her.
She's like, listen, I'll respond to emails from 8 to 9, though.
After the fact, yeah. yes, I'll get back to you. So even just communicating and not leaving it like unknown as to yeah. when it is that you will be getting back, I think that's a way that you can kind of head off some of these, you know, possible hangups that your employer or that your boss might have.
Yeah, it's easy to say, you promised, but I've been doing this for years and I've been just fine, and to be combative in that. But you can say, wait a second, hey, guess what? I think I've been more productive, and actually I think I've dedicated more hours to working because guess what? I'm not commuting now, and it's allowed me more flexibility, more joy, and guess I love this job, and I don't want to, I mean, there's a way to approach the conversation in a way that highlights the win-win abilities of you continuing to work from home, you know, more than the boss maybe wants you to. Mm-hmm. And there's also a way to annoy them and to say, no, wait, we're not breaking the rules for you. So much comes down to your approach
and your tone.
Exactly. And the way you're able to talk about how you contribute to the company.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also important to mention that you might need to look elsewhere, right? If you're great at your job and your employer is taking that my way or the highway approach, well, you know, you might need to move on and mosey on down the road and find greener pastures. And so, I mean, more flexible employers are likely to want your services, again, if you're good at what you do. And so yeah, pay bumps for taking a job across the street, they have diminished. It's not nearly as lucrative as it was for a while to switch jobs. But still, there is still a premium. You're going to get paid more in all likelihood. And there, the labor market is still doing quite well. And so there's still more job openings than people looking for jobs. That means you don't necessarily have to take this one on the chin if it doesn't work for your family, if it doesn't work for your lifestyle. I would say turn to the job boards, turn to your network. If the new hybrid model or the new in-the-office model isn't working for you and it's not working for the lifestyle that you have created for your family, for yourself, then there's no reason to really just kind of grin and bear it.
That's right. And we kind of briefly touched on one of the benefits of owning your own business, the flexibility that comes with that. But working for yourself is another great option that's worth mentioning here, because a lot of folks, they actually went this direction during the during the heart of the pandemic. Honestly, we saw the number of small businesses increase in a massive way, which is great. I think it like the number of new business applications doubled within that first year during the pandemic. And a traditional job is nice. In many ways, it certainly feels like the safest option. But if you've got the skills and if you've got the gumption to go out there on your own, if you can handle that additional responsibility, you might find that you're able to make significantly more money than if you were employed.
The responsibility and the uncertainty, by the way.
Well, but that's the thing. There's uncertainty when it comes to any job that you have.
That's true.
It feels like a job by a company like Microsoft, who's been around for ages, feels super secure. But again, they're one of the companies that's significantly cutting back this year.
Yep.
And you've got more just control over your own destiny. This obviously isn't something that you can do overnight, but if your employer isn't budging, well, then your perfect exit strategy or your perfect off-ramp could be building up a side hustle that eventually you're able to convert into a full-time gig.
Yeah, I totally agree. All right, so let's talk about the financial side of this too, because yeah, I love that you there's a few different options you have if you're not necessarily down with the route that your employer is going and they're saying, hey, we want you back in the office. And you're saying, yeah, that doesn't work for me anymore, especially after 3 years of realizing a completely different way of life. Well, let's, the money side, you know, being more financially prepared, that allows you to push back. That allows you to have this conversation without just doing exactly what your employer requires of you.
It allows you to have the fortitude to go out and start, kind of take a risk on starting your own business.
Yeah, I mean, the more money you have saved, the more options you have at your disposal. And that's why freedom, we always push this, is such a better use of money, in our opinion, than buying a fancy car or whatever, right? It's not that if money were no object, Matt, that I wouldn't drive something nicer, that I wouldn't have a Rivian sitting in my driveway or something like that, right? I think those are awesome cars. It's just that I'm not going to buy it because I just don't value it to the extent that it takes precedence over my freedom.
You are then handcuffed to your possessions and hopefully, in your case, not financing the decisions and the things that you've purchased.
Right.
But still.
But dollars aren't endless, and I would rather have the freedom if I'm making a choice. And so if you don't want to go back in the office, you know, quitting is an option while you're figuring things out. But you can only really do that if you've saved up a decent chunk of what we call peace out money.
That's right.
The more cash you have in your bank account, the more options you have at your disposal, and the more comfortable you can feel saying, yeah, sorry, this doesn't work for me. I'm taking my talents in a different direction to South Beach or whatever LeBron James said that time.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Like, the more financial freedom that you can accrue, the more you can react however it is that you want to when or if your boss says that you got to come into the office a little more often for the rest of your life. Because if you're well established in your career and if you feel more productive at home, like, you might decide, well, I don't want to do that anymore. And if you've got the cash in the bank to back you up, you might not have to. If you have the cash in the bank to back you, like, you have the ability to make the decision that's best for you. You can, again, you get to chart your own course. You are in control more of your destiny, in part, Joel, because of the fact that you didn't buy that Rivian.
That's right.
Yeah. It's saying no to certain expenses. That way, again, you're not tied to the previous financial decisions that you've made in the past that dictate where you go in the future.
Yeah. And let's talk about incentives for a second, Matt, because what you want and what your employer want are not the same, typically. And I think people know that instinctively, but it's also important to name that because you as an individual, you've likely got some competing incentives going on as well. And some of those aren't crystal clear to us either. Of course, you want a paycheck, but you have to ask yourself other important questions during this time too. Like, what are your biggest work priorities? it's important to name those and even to write them down. What do you value most about your job? What lifestyle and career best serves you and your family's interests? And how long could you survive without a paycheck? Those are all really good questions to start asking yourself right now. You know, because life and money, they're all about trade-offs. It's never a slam dunk easy decision. And you've got to figure out...
Rarely ever is it.
Right, yeah. You got to figure out which ones you can and which ones you're willing to make. But I think starting to ask those questions will help inform you. Wait a second. Yeah, no, we really do value this lifestyle we've developed. And I'd be willing to make less money to continue to live in this place and to have the lifestyle we have. When we step back and look, we have more options, I think, than we think in the moment.
Yeah. And on the flip side, maybe you take a look at your life and you think, well, yes, we've been living this way, but I don't necessarily need to. And if I have the ability maybe to advance more in my career, and that's a goal, to hit certain financial milestones, then maybe you do decide to go back in. As long as you are proactively asking these questions, that is the biggest thing that we want to make sure folks are doing. But we also want to point out that the contract between the employer and the employee, that it has changed significantly over the years, because you might be told that employees are treated like family here. And the people who are telling you that, like, they might even believe it. And there's nothing wrong with thinking that your coworkers are pretty swell, that you like them. You like going out to drinks together after work. You like talking about personal stuff. There's nothing wrong with liking your job, or even kind of buying into the mission of your employer. It's like, I think it's important to identify the work that you do that on a surface level might look like just being a cog in the machine, to the sort of larger purpose and the way specifically that you're making the world a better place. But you also have to take care of yourself and your family. And we want you to do that on a financial level as well. So cutting spending and saving more money, it gives you more options. And that way, when that word family turns out to be a bit dysfunctional, well, then, you know, you have the ability to get out, move on to those greener pastures.
Yeah, and work families end up being as dysfunctional, if not more, than your traditional family. And Matt, I think there seem to be kind of two prevailing views on work this day. One is that work is bad, and the other is that work should basically be fulfilling to all of us as individuals on an existential level. And I don't think either of those narratives is true, and neither are good, right? I heard someone say recently that 20 years from now, the only people who will remember that you worked late are your kids.
Mm.
That's a truth bomb right there, right?
Yeah.
That's like...
Pretty sure my wife read that somewhere too, and then mentioned that to me after coming home late two or three days in a row.
And guess what? I'm going to guilt you into getting home on time. Well, you know, I think you and I, we hope that, you know, whether our listeners are doing full-time work from home, whether they're doing the hybrid thing, whether they're working for themselves, or they're in person all the time, 5 days a week, that they can strike a balance in their work life. And it's important to try to enjoy what you do, like you just said, connect it to the greater mission of what your employer is trying to accomplish, or if you're self-employed, what you're trying to accomplish. But also know that your job will never love you back. And so let's maybe have a more sober view of work instead of the kind of culturally biased, I think, views that have become ingrained in us.
Depending on whichever political side you happen to be on, I feel like takes different, it's not politics, but it's just different views of what it is that, you know, the kind of role that work
is ultimately not going to satisfy you, right? In the ways that other more important things in life can. But work is also, we think, a fundamental good, and there's a lot of good you can do and a lot of joy you can derive from it, but you gotta find that happy medium. And hopefully this episode helps you navigate kind of your world of work and what it looks like if your employer says, come on back into the office. You know, it might not be all bad, but you also might have the ability to push back in ways where it doesn't make sense. It doesn't work for your life and for your family.
That's right, man. All right. Let's shift gears and get back to the beer. You and I, and we split a quite ostentatious testimony of non sequitur. This is a burial stout. It's an imperial stout with decaf coffee, toasted macadamia milk. Is that just, I guess, the water that macadamia nuts soak in?
Or that's like almond milk, same thing, right?
I guess not water. Then they must crush the macadamia to extract the milk, perhaps. Mm-hmm. But also it's got vanilla bean. Did you taste all those things?
I think I did. I definitely tasted macadamia, and it's got a sweetness to it, which vanilla often possesses, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought it was good for, this was a beastly stout.
Yeah, I'm glad you and I are sharing. Like, what if we each had our own?
Oh my gosh, it wouldn't be good.
Our own bottle of it.
It wouldn't be good. You wouldn't be able to bike home.
You and I are sharing, and that's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, it was a sweet stout.
Yeah.
And sometimes
did that turn you off? Because you aren't into the sweetness.
No, I liked it because it wasn't overly sweet, but it was, I think sometimes these bigger, more beastly stouts, they end up being really bitter because they're usually like Russian Imperial stouts. This one had more milk stout vibes going on.
It's like a pastry dessert stout.
Yeah.
For sure.
I love the balance that this one had going on.
As long as it has the flavors to accompany that sweetness, that's how I feel about it, right? Because sometimes you just have nothing but flavor and it can come across as harsh or brash. But when you have the right sour, bitter, or sweet notes to accompany those different flavors that you're kind of pulling out of a beer, I think it can be really good. But yeah, man, glad you and I got to enjoy this beer. But that's going to be it for this episode. Listeners can find some of the different resources, some of the different episodes that we mentioned in particular during this episode, up on our website at howtomoney.com. So until next time,
best friends out.
Best friends out.
Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no-obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.